We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us right now, our special guest, Jeff Belanger. You may know him from the Amazon series, New England Legends, which is also a podcast, a really good one. We were talking, I just listened to the one about the Boone Island cannibals in Maine, which is just a horrid, horrid story of, it was a ship that got the crew got stranded there. They hit the rocks there, and then they ended up having to eat one guy, and then...
Could you do it, Mike?
I can get pretty hungry. I wouldn't really put it past myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen him skip lunch before.
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, if we were there, I'd definitely be looking at Josh Dolan like a cartoon, like his head was a ham.
Yeah.
You know, after a couple of days of not eating, you know, but that's, yeah, that's pretty scary. But you have, there's an episode now on Amazon Prime.
Yep.
And it's all about Christmas and some of the darker aspects of Christmas and that time that they banned Christmas in Boston for a long time.
Right.
Which is amazing. But let's start with something in a discussion that came up in that episode. Do we need these things today? Because now if a kid is being bad, they just won't get a present, or you'll get coal in your stocking.
Right, right.
And it's kind of like, oh, whatever.
That's what I got threatened with.
Right. Yeah. Same with me. You're going to get coal.
Yeah.
But you talk about two figures. The first one is Krampus. And that's like starting to become a thing now. Like in the episode, you go to the Krampus, is it the Krampus Society?
The Krampus Society of New England's annual ball.
And that's in Rhode Island.
It was in Providence, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. That's a thing is just amazing. There was a live goat there.
Yeah, I saw that. There was a live goat there. Yeah. And everybody's dressed up in costumes as a live goat. Had an eyes wide shut kind of thing.
It did have a little bit of that vibe. I wondered, had we stayed later, maybe it would have gone that way.
Right.
I don't know.
Had some of the wine.
Yeah.
And then you interviewed the guy, he's like the director or something, and he's sitting there in this, like, you and him are sitting there in these giant, like, beautiful, ornate chairs. He's totally got, like, horns on and, like, the fake pointed ears and stuff like that and the things in his eyes, and he's very, very serious about Krampus, which apparently you should be.
Yeah, you should be. If we could start even a little before Krampus,
if
you go back thousands of years, you got to think about it. This time of year is born from fear, right? We live in three seasons. We live in spring, summer, fall, but winter you fear.
And right.
Go back just a couple centuries. Do I have enough food to make it to the spring?
Exactly.
Will my roof
survive the cold?
Yeah, like, will it get so cold? Will I lose my mind?
Yeah.
You know, now we have 3 feet of snow. Our plows can get it out in a day. You know, we're fine. But back then, 3 feet of snow, you could be locked in for weeks.
Yeah.
And that's life and death. And so this was a life and death time of year. The festival Yule gave us so much, so many of these customs, right, that came from the Nordic area, and so many of these monsters. So I've joked that, you know, Halloween's just about ghosts, but Christmas, man, there's monsters that'll kill you.
Like, yeah.
That's what this holiday was founded on, the winter solstice, Yule, Saturnalia, all of that stuff. Let's celebrate because we're about to hunker down for the winter. The sun, it hardly rises anymore.
Yeah, it's darker longer.
Will it come back at all? The howl of the wind, is that ghosts crying? And they would look out on the landscape and they would see that winter kills everything. Winter kills flowers and grass and trees and everything. Except one tree it doesn't kill.
Right.
Doesn't kill the evergreen. And so they figured these things must be magic. They must be powerful. And they would drape animal entrails around it. They'd gut the gut the deer and put the intestines around it. And
I got to try that next year. So the wife won't be happy.
Let's have a traditional Christmas, right?
Right,
no more popcorn this year.
Let's grow some ornaments and put some entrails on there, honey.
Yeah.
I know it smells, but, you know, it'll protect us from evil.
Let's throw it back before we had tinsel.
Right.
It's going to smell quickly, like hours.
Right, you know,
not even very
long. So they would just hang entrails on the tree.
That was the thing.
So that was like the first decorations?
That was it. That was, you would also, they would bring the branches and they'd put them over the doors and windows so the prickly needles would keep the ghosts out. That was where those traditions came from.
See, these are things that happen in my house. My wife goes crazy every year, decorates the house. She loves decorating for Christmas, and it's always like, oh, I'm going to the farm or whatever to get wreaths and you know, greens and things like that, and they have to go everywhere. And sure, it looks nice and smell nice, but see, I never knew.
She's carrying on a tradition. That,
she's protecting us.
But the fake trees don't keep
I have
the
a fake tree, Josh. I can still put entrails on it.
It doesn't work on the ghosts.
No, it'll be fine.
If you put real entrails on the fake tree, it, I think it's a evens
cancels
out.
It out, right?
You're neutral at that point.
All right. See? All right.
Trust me, I'm an expert.
So Saturnalia, which you mentioned, that is a Roman thing.
Right.
That was around the same time, right? Around this time?
3rd century BC. It's 6 days between December 17th and the 23rd with the winter solstice always falling in there. And that's when society's turned upside down. The masters serve the servants and the servants become the masters. There's feasting. There's all kinds of things. And that was a really big festival. I mean, it still is. You're honoring the god Saturn and so on. So there's still roots of that. And that gift-giving, still, it was winter's coming. We need good cheer. We need to look out for each other. Mm-hmm. I might need you. You might need me.
Oh, right. So you're it's kind of like networking.
Well, right.
Right? You're like, get in good with your neighbors before the big freeze because your roof might cave in.
Right.
You're right, yeah. Oh, okay.
And it was only more extreme in the north. You know, the Nordic people passed around the drinking horn and would all drink from it because we're all equal and... Remember that sweater I gave you, Mike? Yeah, my roof caved in.
Yeah, well, give me some of your corn.
Yeah, cool if I stay here till April. You know,
Is that all right? Can you put up me and my family for a while?
Just till April.
Yeah. You know?
But yeah, so it was fun to explore that. And my producer partner in this, Tony Dunn, and I, we've been fascinated with Christmas for years. And we've always wanted to do a Christmas special. And so it all kind of came together working on this. And then we learned about the Krampus Society. Krampus is a monster. He's the Christmas devil. He's got horns. He's got hair.
I love him. I have him tattooed on my arm here.
Look at that.
Yeah, a friend of mine did this wood print, and I got that because
amazing.
Because I think Krampus, I believe in, we need Krampus back in our lives.
And he never went away. So December 6th is St. Nicholas Day, traditionally throughout Europe. That's when St. Nicholas brings presents. But the 5th,
okay, so it's not the 25th.
It is now, but originally
that was the day originally.
December 6th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And so December 5th was the day for Krampus. Now, Krampus shows up. He's got chains. He's got a long forked tongue. He's got the horns. He's got hooves for feet.
Yeah.
And he snatches up the naughty children. He brings them back to his lair. He kills them and eats them. They die. So when St. Nicholas comes on the 6th, there's no naughty kids. This is just free. This is good cop, bad cop. That's what this is.
Yeah, that's the thing you emphasize in the episode is that it's not like a good versus evil thing.
No.
They're a team.
They are.
Which I think is amazing.
They are.
In fact, Santa had this friend who would help him out with the naughty kids, you know?
And who liked it.
Was
well suited for the job.
Yeah.
You know, this was not, he did it willingly.
Yeah.
So the Krampus, and especially the mid-1800s all the way to like the 1930s, people sent Krampus cards, especially in Germany, instead of Christmas cards. And there's dozens of them out there. We show a bunch on the episode, but you can go online and see tons of them. And you can even see some where Krampus is with St. Nicholas together. St. Nicholas is giving the presents to the good girls and boys, and Krampus is ready to deal with the bad ones.
He's marinating them.
So imagine you're like a German kid on December 5th, and your parents are like, hey, Mike.
Hey.
December 5th.
Krampus is here.
Right. Time for bed. I hope you make it till tomorrow.
Oh,
right?
God.
And dad's rattling chains downstairs. You know, you hear that?
That's horrifying.
Oh, I know.
That's way better than coal.
Way better.
Right?
Yeah.
Way more effective.
Yeah.
Now, why, you know, and what was the other one you brought up in the episode? The guy with the stick.
The Belschnickel.
Yeah, the Belschnickel.
Yeah. So if Krampus is a little much for you, like, you know, eating and destroying the children, Belschnickel.
Yes. It's like, could be much for some people. Yeah.
Some families, you know, can't quite handle that.
Right.
So Belschnickel is like Krampus Light.
Okay. So still pretty bad, though.
Still pretty bad.
Yeah.
Belschnickel is Nicholas in furs. So when the Protestant Reformation went down, they did away with all the Catholic saints. But St. Nicholas was the most popular. So Nicholas in furs would come. He would give gifts and candy to good kids, but he might show up at your house dressed in furs and like soot on his face and carrying a switch of sticks and say, Mike, any naughty children in your house this year? And you'd say, well, little Mary's been an angel all year, but, you know, Josh over here.
That's right.
Not so good. And so Belschnickel would take Josh out to the back, tie him to a tree, and just beat him with the sticks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And that, well, the point is, so Josh can get right for Christmas.
Right,
and still have some hope for some presents and things.
Unfortunately, this Josh would probably pay Belschnickel.
I probably would.
Yeah,
thank you.
Can
I
have another?
Rehabilitate me.
Right. Is this supposed to be bad? This is my present.
You're on
my
good list. Yeah, but I have cash.
So he was also German.
Yes.
So that's another question I have.
Yeah.
These kind of like semi-evil things, they're German. Why is it all from Germany?
Brothers Grimm. I mean, you know, you have to remember all those tales we know, right?
Like, yeah.
They just had a tradition of taking these really dark things and celebrating them. And I think when you're raising kids, your kids understand good and bad. And when you take it to an extreme like this, I think it's really powerful. Like, there's evil forces in the world, there's good forces in the world, and these creatures of myth and legend help us understand that. They balance it out.
But don't you think that telling a 5-year-old that if you're bad, like if you don't pick up your room, Krampus is going to eat you?
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
That might be a little traumatic.
So yeah.
You know, they might have some issues later on. I mean, I don't know.
So we got the elf on the shelf.
That's true. That's kind of weird.
Back, which, by the way, it was the Swedish and Norwegian Tomten, which is this helper elf that, you know, has been around for centuries.
Oh, that wasn't some weirdo at Hallmark?
There's also a weirdo.
Weirdo at Hallmark. Just borrowed an old idea.
Right. And, I didn't know that came from like an old thing.
The Tomten. Yeah, so the Tomten would help around the house. But he would also keep you in line if you're not taking care of the house chores and things like that. He'll actually slap you around. And all he asks is a bowl of sticky sweet rice pudding on Christmas Eve left out for him. And families would put one almond into the bowl, and they would serve it to each other, and whoever got the almond would get a prize. And if you don't leave out the rice on Christmas Eve, then the Tomten leaves you, and that's the worst thing that can happen because you'll have no help. But that's more or less where Elf on the Shelf comes from. But in my house, we do Krampus in the Corner.
Oh God!
He's watching every day.
Do you have like a stuffed Krampus or something like that?
Over the years now, people have given me multiple Krampus ornaments for the tree, which is great, which is just awesome. So they're hanging, keeping watch on all of us.
Wow!
Yeah.
Now, is there any mall Krampus?
Not yet.
No,
but I think we're more than ready. I mean,
yeah. Wouldn't want to sit on that lap though. I don't know.
Depends what you're into, I guess.
I don't know. You know,
a chance to explain yourself?
Right, yeah. See, yeah, plead your case with Krampus. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be pretty good.
Yeah.
So that's the Tomten.
The Tomten is from Sweden.
The Tomten
is
from Sweden. So all this stuff seems to come from Scandinavia and the Germanic countries there.
Yeah.
There's no...
Iceland gave us the Grýla, which is
someone just texted in saying there's a Icelandic Christmas cat.
Oh, the Yule Cat. The Yule Cat's a great story. So in Iceland, every year you're supposed to do your chores and work hard, and everybody gets new clothes for Christmas. And you're supposed to wear your new clothes on Christmas Day, and if you don't, it means you're lazy and you didn't have the resources to get those new clothes, and the Yule Cat will come along, scratch you up, and kill you.
Oh my God, everything's about getting killed for Christmas.
Now that's different from a regular cat, I'm not really sure.
Right, yeah.
Pretty evil. But so yeah, and Iceland also gave us the Grýla, which is just a monster that comes down on Christmas Eve and eats children. Good or bad, it doesn't matter. And the moral there is be careful who you let in, because there's monsters out there, especially in this dark, scary time of year. And
you think that's why it's in those like Scandinavian countries, because it got dark? Like very, very, like, you know, the sun went down really early, and so they had less light. And
it's scary.
Or were the kids just horrible? Like, were the Scandinavian and German kids just total a-holes?
They're just,
you know?
Yeah, they're monsters.
That's why they're so disciplined now.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
And they need monsters to keep them straight. Yeah, and then in Bulgaria, they've got the Karakonkalis, which is a shapeshifter. And he can show up looking like anything, and all he wants to do is get into your house. And if he gets into your house, he bops you on the head and kills you with one mighty blow. And because he's a shapeshifter, he can look like anyone or anything. So Christmas Eve, if Aunt Agnes is out there knocking on your door, I say don't risk it. Don't let her in. Could be the Karakonkalis
in
Bulgaria.
Is this Karakonkalis? This is another one that comes whether you're bad or good?
They're just looking for victims on Christmas Eve.
On Christmas. It had to be Christmas,
well,
right?
Well, sure, right? I mean...
It couldn't have been, you know, Easter or Arbor Day or some other day.
It's got to be dark and scary.
Yeah.
And that's what this time of year gives us.
Right.
And it's a time for ghosts, too, right? Remember the Christmas Carol. There'll be scary ghost stories.
And right, Jacob Marley and three ghosts and Scrooge.
No, but the Christmas Carol by Andy Williams, right? Back in the 1960s, there'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago.
Are you saying Andy Williams is Krampus?
I'm saying I've never seen the two of them together at the same time.
Okay. Because I would believe that.
It's possible.
Yeah.
But when I grew, I heard that song, and I'm like, we never told ghost stories at Christmas. And then you remember, right, of course, Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
It was one of the most famous ghost stories of any time.
Right.
And that story really is what brought Christmas to Boston and to America, was because of Charles Dickens. And as you mentioned earlier, Boston, we banned Christmas.
Right.
If you want to be traditional.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Yeah. So when did Christmas get banned in Boston?
It was 1659.
Okay, so it was early on.
Way early. Okay. So the Puritans are like, hey, this is a satanical practice.
Right.
I'm quoting.
It's satanic. Kind of a pagan thing,
it's
right?
Totally pagan.
Yeah.
No making merry, no getting dressed up, no drinking,
no presents, nothing.
Nothing. And so they banned it. And the ban held until 1681 when the King of England said, you can't do that. We're lifting this. But it was not a recognized holiday until the 1800s. And even then, you still had to go to work and you still had to go to school. Like, it was not a day off. So Charles Dickens wrote Christmas Carol in 1843, and that story just caught fire in Europe. But he wouldn't bring it to America because we still had slavery, and he loved America.
Oh, right,
and
England was against slavery.
And he had
right.
come here, and he was served by slaves in Baltimore. He was served dinner, and he was so disgusted by it, he said, I can't go back to America as long as there's slavery. Once the Civil War ends, he comes back, and he comes to Boston. He stays at the Parker House Hotel,
right,
and he practices reading this story over and over in front of a mirror, and then reads it to a Boston audience for the first time in America. And one audience member was so moved that he closed his shop for Christmas Day, sent everyone home with a turkey. And that story had such a huge impact on how we think about and romanticize this holiday. And from there, it, you know, soon became a federal holiday, and it's a day off, and we need to heal after the Civil War. And it just, all the things just lined up.
Wow.
And now, they say the Parker House Hotel, there's a mirror on the second floor.
Where you could, sometimes you can see him.
You could see the ghost
He's
of Charles
practicing.
Dickens.
Yeah.
Still playing out his story, which
wow.
is awesome.
Yeah. So the War on Christmas started a long time ago.
It started in Boston in the 1600s, yeah.
Yeah. Boy, those Puritans.
So that's what's funny. When someone says Happy Holidays, this is such a melting pot of so many cultures, so many ideas from all over, you know, various regions. So it's okay. You can say Happy Holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
or
all
else,
right.
Or else the Krampus
will get you.
Or one of those other things will come and just eat your head.
One of the other characters that will kill you.
I know. It seems that really, it's for Christmas, it's pretty, like, it's all centered around fear of death.
Pretty much.
Yeah, like when you started saying, because really it was.
Yeah.
Because it was the beginning of winter, so you're trying to, you know, get through the winter. But seriously, these creatures are...
And then in America, we have Rudolph, who's just a little different.
I know, we have Rudolph. Yeah, I know.
The kid who wanted to be a dentist.
Yeah, Hermie. Yes, Hermie, like, you know.
Oh, well, you know. The struggle's real, man.
Yeah.
The dentist is, I'm pretty afraid of the dentist, so that could work for me also.
Yeah,
all right,
right,
well, Jeff Belanger, thank you very much for coming in.
Yeah.
New England Legends on Amazon. Check it out. There's, you said, 8 episodes?
Yeah, there's 8 episodes now, yeah.
And the Christmas one is right now.
Number 8.
He talks to Santa.
I do. I interview the
God.
Big man. The Santa.
Yeah. I mean, this is the real Santa.
You got in touch with his agent?
Oh, my God. And he's got a lot of great facts about Santa, where
his
he came
life.
From. And,
yeah.
You know, how he started out as the St. Nicholas legend and all that stuff. And it's really great. So that's on Amazon Prime. And then there's the New England Legends podcast, which is great. I listened to that on the way home. You know, nice night driving podcast. Like that Boone's Island one creeped me out in a big way. The Boone's Island, Maine. The Boone's Island cannibals. Stuff like that.
Yeah. Cannibals are scary.
Yes, they are. People who eat other people are very scary.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm surprised there's not, like, the Belschnickel doesn't eat the kids. He just beats them with a stick.
Beats them and sends them back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll start with the Belschnickel.
Right. Might be the best one.
work up to Krampus.
Just, let's just go with that one. All right. And then can people check out a website?
Yeah. If you go Our New England Legends, O-U-R, newenglandlegends.com. We've got our whole archive of videos and podcasts and everything else that we do.
Well, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Great Krampus sweater.
Thank you.
It is Ugly Sweater Day today. In the United States, it's National Ugly Sweater Day. So
two of us got the memo.
Yeah.
What?
I don't even think I own a sweater anymore. I got to get one.
You got the Krampus tattoo. You're
I
set.
Know. I got the Krampus tattoo, so maybe he won't eat me.
No, you'll be good.
It's like, dude, I'm a big fan. Yeah.
You got the mark.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for coming in, man.
Thank you, guys.
I appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.